We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You want me to do some thank yous before we bring in a guest?
Yes, I would love you to do that. Please handle that. People want to hear you talk about food and things.
Oh, my God. The food today provided by our guys at Viduces and the Diamond Club. And I tell you, I've seen a lot of menus, and all the score hits here can certainly
Terry, you've been around a lot of menus.
Oh, my God. And it's called Uncle Terry's Tasting Menu, Lobster Truffle Mac and Cheese, Ballpark Barbecue Sliders, Aged Cheddar Chipotle Barbecue, Bourbon Bacon, Onion rings, carnitas sliders, grilled pineapple relish, fire roasted salsa, pickle brine fried chicken and a biscuit, duck sausage, I knew him, country gravy, Andalay crisps, salted butterscotch banana bacon, Nutella churros.
You're reading the menu. We're starting to do the Jiggets and North show.
They brought all the food for the kids. I mean, you give them their props, man. It's terrific.
McNeil and Boers reunited, and as old home week continues, let's bring in one of the most successful and popular sportscasters
in American history.
He's Dan Patrick, joining us on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Hey, Dan, how are you?
Can you continue with the menu? I was writing it down. I didn't get everything yet.
How are you, my friend?
That's quality radio right there. That's quality radio.
Hey, I'm just doing the best I can. I'm old.
Yeah, as one of our guys said a little while ago, it's amazing this isn't still on the air after we had a moment like that.
There's a reason why it's still not on the air.
Yeah, yeah. Did you enjoy the All-Star game last night? Did you bother with it?
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I'm well past the, it's not the game I grew up with, or it's not going to be where the NFL is or the NBA. I just said, you know, step back, enjoy it, watch it, and stop trying to compare it to, you know, your love for the Big Red Machine in 1975. And watching the young talent that was out there, and you know, it's not the same kind of competition. It's not the same kind of all-star, and it's, you know, the competitive level is only there in the latter part of the innings, it feels like, but it was a celebration. I think baseball should feel pretty good about what happened with the Home Run Derby and what happened with the All-Star game last night. I thought it was fun, fresh faces, and maybe turning the corner and just, you know, people embracing it for what it is instead of what it used to be.
And you think, Dan, when you look at it, that is exactly what baseball is, that game. That is your perfect little bit of baseball. If you haven't watched much baseball, or you don't pay much attention and you just happen to sitting around and here comes the All-Star game, you got a taste for exactly what baseball is. And I'm with you. I don't care what era it is. I mean, there's some really terrific, talented players. I enjoy that. But, I mean, that was the perfect game for this era of baseball.
Yeah, and the vibe there in D.C., because I was down there for the weekend, and in fact came back yesterday to watch the game, and there was just a different feel to it. And even being there at batting practice for Home Run Derby, and you could just tell that there were guys who understood, let's sell the game, present the game, let's not be afraid of this, let's have fun with this. But then let's also show, you know, we're just as talented as any other generation. And when you think about it, man, there are a lot of guys who are 26 and under who, if you look at them now and their stocks, you're buying all of those stocks right now. So it's an interesting time for baseball. And I know that we keep trying to figure out, well, how do you get the millennials? And I don't have any answers to that. But I know it's hard for me now to just sit through an entire game. I find that I watch matchups, or if Scherzer's pitching, or when, you know, Sale is pitching. Like, there's certain guys that I'll tune in just to watch him. DeGrom, I'll watch him pitch. If, you know, the Yankees are playing, I'll wait for Giancarlo Stanton or Judge to come up. So it's like I'm picking and choosing, and it's almost like I'm acting like a millennial, where, hey, I'm not going to watch the whole thing, but I'm going to pick and choose what I want to watch.
I'd rather talk about the Big Red Machine, frankly.
No, you wouldn't.
I loved the Big Red Machine. Are you kidding? I wrote a story about it for my grade school newspaper.
That's a classic. Yeah, we're happy for you.
Oh, isn't it?
That's a classic.
I mean, I'll go. I'll match Dan Patrick question for question about a Jack Billingham or a Freddie Norman.
You know, I asked Arnold Palmer this question. I'll ask Dan Patrick the same question. And I asked him. I said, Arnold, and he was still alive then, because I haven't talked to him lately. But I said, Arnold, what is it like every day to wake up to be a damn legend? And I would ask you that same question, because that's what you are, sir. In the history of sports and sports radio and sports television and everything else, you are a legend.
You're blushing.
What the hell is wrong with you? What are you talking about?
I'm drinking.
What are you doing? Are you drinking?
No. I mean it. I think there's a certain guys, and we were talking about the milepost of radio and how it's changed sports, and then this changed sports, and now there's a million sports, and all the other things that have changed over low these many years. But you're part of almost every generation of it. Your presence has been a consistent for a lot of people listening to this right now, and probably most of them. And that's what I say. When I don't hand out the title of legend easily. I meant that. That's what you are.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. But if I ever woke up and thought it, then I don't think I would approach the day or my job the same way, that you sit back and go, like, if anything, you raise the level, and then you must maintain the level or exceed the level. And you can't do that if you just sit back and go, let me open up my scrapbook here and let me tell you what Overman and I did in 1996. Nobody cares about that. But, you know, when it's all said and done, when I'm done with this, then, you know, it'll be fun to reflect back. Because I was very, very fortunate to be around some great events and be on the front lines with that. And, I never took it for granted. You know, as I told Danny, you know, every time Jordan came in after they'd won a title, like I never took it for granted. I knew it would end one day, but I still had the greatest basketball player who added to his resume, who's there, and we're live TV and let's go. Or if I'm handing out the Super Bowl trophy, which, you know, I've done five times, I never took it for granted and never said, you know, let me just sort of mail this in, because that's when you fall on your sword. And, I've been fortunate for the most part to stay upright with this.
You know, you mentioned handing out the Super Bowl trophy, and as I was listening to you, that's what I was going to ask you about. If there was a moment where you kind of just stepped back and said, damn, there I am. I've been doing this for a long time, but here I am. I have
tens
of millions of people watching, and I'm interviewing Ohio State product Santonio Holmes after his acrobatic catch in the end zone. That had to just blow you away.
The first time I did it, I didn't tell anybody in my family. So this is Steelers and Arizona. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching on the sidelines. Larry Fitzgerald scores a touchdown. Now, I think Arizona's going to win. I have to get ready for Arizona to be up on the podium. And I'm thinking, okay, is Larry Fitzgerald up there? Is Kurt Warner up there? And, you know, Bidwell up? Like, who's going to be up there? And all of a sudden, my mind's racing. And I'm on the sidelines, and I see Steve Young. And Steve goes, wait, what are you doing? What's wrong? I go, I think I'm going to interview the Cardinals. They're going to win. And he goes, no. Ben's got this. I go, what? And so I watched the final 2-minute drive with Steve Young doing play by play in color of a 2-minute drill to win a Super Bowl and have one of the great throws of all time. So it was such a memorable moment, because I got a Hall of Famer telling me, he's so impressed with what Roethlisberger's doing. Holmes catches it. I go down to the end of the in the end zone. They're putting up the podium, and all of a sudden, I'm on the podium. The commissioner, they're bringing the trophy in, and then I don't even know who the MVP is. Nobody's told me. So I'm yelling down onto the field, and I'm saying, who's the MVP? Like, who's the MVP? I got Roethlisberger up there. Got Mr. Rooney up there. I got Coach Tomlin up there. I got Holmes up there, the commissioner. And I think Ben thinks he's the MVP, which he should have been, but I think he thinks he's the MVP. And I yell down, I said, who is the MVP? And then somebody yells up, Holmes! And like 20 seconds later, my mic is hot, and I'm talking, there's 110 million people watching, and I'm going, oh my God. You know, if people only knew behind the scenes And I just remember I walked off that after handing out the trophy, and all of a sudden my phone blew up with my brothers and my sisters, and they were like, you're handing out the Super Bowl trophy. Like, oh, I was? Are you kidding me? I didn't know that. And it's one of those moments, it's one of the best moments I ever had, because I came from a small town in Ohio, and I'm handing out the Super Bowl trophy, and it was just one of those surreal moments. But I had to stay in the moment. When I was out of the moment, I'm walking past the confetti, all the, you know, the players and families, and I'm all by myself. I just went from the all-time high you could have in this business to I'm walking into a trailer to sit down to watch a re-air of the show The Office. You know, that was – I was in the trailer, ESPN trailer, by myself. I just sat there and I went, I don't know what just happened. And it, but if you look at all of it, you know, if you put it all together, I got Steve Young doing play-by-play in color – Ben with the play, on the podium, who's the MVP, here's the trophy, and then I walk off, and then you just go back and go, oh, my God, I don't know what just happened. And then my brothers and sisters seeing it in real time was pretty incredible. One of the great, great moments I ever had.
Very cool. Dan Patrick with us with McNeil and Boers on Sports Radio 670. The Score, last day of the Heavy Fuel Crew reunion, last of three. And I just want to give Dan credit for using podium properly. They were building the podium. He was on the – so many people called the lectern the podium. I'm just tickled. Dan was at Dayton the day they taught linguistics. Nice job.
Allegedly. You know, Danny and I had a great time a couple of weeks ago where we just went down memory lane, and I told him, and I sincerely mean this, of how much fun I had with you guys back in the 90s, that you almost took my mind off of what I was doing. Because, at the time you get caught up in how important it is, and I really thought that I was the person who was conducting these interviews with Phil and Michael, and this was historical, you know. Mm-hmm. I was chronicling, you know, these championships and doing it in an interview form, and like I was full of myself, like this is a big deal. And you guys gave me so much levity, and I just remember I needed it, because I think I got so into my head of trying to make these interviews great with Jordan and Phil or whoever it came in after games. But man, did we laugh. We laughed so hard a couple of weeks ago, and it brought back great memories. So the levity you provided is certainly not lost on me.
Oh, that's very sweet. Terry's America's friend. I mean, how can you not laugh at Terry? And how can you not laugh at Rosie Greer as Dan Jiggetts, or Dan Jiggetts as Rosie Greer?
Oh, man. It was such a great way to decompress where, you know, you just got done. And I always look forward to it. And I would be like, I didn't know how many times I'd run into you guys, but I knew when I did, I was going to have a great time.
You know, hearing you talk about your internal wrestling match, you're a bit of a tortured artist, aren't you?
A little bit, yeah. I just started being able to sort of celebrate when you do something or right after you do something. I never wanted to win awards, because I thought if I won an award, I was a bad a husband or father. Like it was weird, because I was working second shift and I was so into my job. And I remember I was nominated for a sports Emmy. I don't think I won it, but I was feeling like I don't want to get up there. If I win, I'm going to be terrible saying something, because I don't want to win it. It feels like if I do, then I've totally abandoned my family and my wife. And I was going to feel really crappy about it. So that's weird. I'm a little better now at celebrating it, because I realize that the end is, you know, sooner than later. But yeah, a long time. And I'm never, ever satisfied. Ever, ever. And
see, that's what makes
it's not a great
what
business
you have to
be in.
Yeah,
to be like that.
I get that. I mean, I understand that. I mean, maybe not to that level of torture, but
I heard Howard Stern not too long ago talking about how it's just a shame he hasn't been able to enjoy any of his enormous success over the years.
Yeah.
You've done his show, right?
Yeah, I've been on. But I understand it, you know, that you're – it's just weird. I always felt like I had – to prove myself constantly, and then you never take a step back and enjoy it, because I always thought somebody is somebody's going to be better, or gaining on me. Somebody's going to do it better. They're going to find out that I'm not that good. And I used to watch every single SportsCenter that I did. I get done with the show, and I now, and we were, by all accounts, doing it at a pretty high level in the mid 90s when I was there with Keith.
So I think that's fair. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I was looking to see what I did wrong, and not what I did right. And so I would get done with the show, grab the tape, go up and watch the entire show in the newsroom. And then I just stopped and I went, what am I looking for? Because then you do the show to not make mistakes. And that's a terrible way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wanted to be perfect. And then I realized, be you. And the imperfections were what Keith and I learned to embrace. There was one night I forgot to put my microphone on.
That's problematic.
We started the show and I didn't have my microphone on. Because I'm so caught up and I got to get these I got the first highlight. Oh, my God. And I start the show and you can just see my mouth moving. And Keith takes his microphone and puts it on my tie. And then I start doing my highlights. I get done. And then Keith waves to me like, can I have my microphone back? Takes the microphone back and puts it on his tie. But those moments made me think, God, you know, nobody cares. Nobody's got a scorecard here. Mm-hmm. Have fun with this. And by the time I started to have fun with it, that's when Keith started to, you know, feel like he had to leave. And but it was a great lesson in enjoy the moment and embrace. If you make a mistake, you make a mistake. But I didn't do that for a long, long, long time.
Wow. The pressure of having a guy like Bill Pito or John Buccigross breathing down your neck.
Literally, I'm afraid. You know, here's the thing.
Yeah, but I went from CNN where, you know, it was never about you at CNN.
Right.
You know, it was the world's most important network. That was their slogan. And so I was brought up in present the sports, let the sports be the star. Your job is just, you know, you're the conduit. And I took that to ESPN with, you know, that same kind of mentality. And that's when Berman was at his peak. And I just said, like, I'll never be able to be like that, have that personality or put myself out there. And I just kind of presented it. And I was always the straight guy on the air, but off the air. I mean, I had fun. And Oberman finally said, dude, why don't you act the way you do off the air, on the air? And I go, okay. And then after that, I was like, let's just go. Let's just have fun and see what the hell happens there. And whether it lasts 2 weeks, you know, 2 years or 10 years, let's go. And so there are a couple of those moments that were watershed moments for me.
Dan, who will the Cubs face in the World Series? It is the Cubs, right?
Well, yeah, he hasn't said that. Let him say that. Maybe it's not going to be the Cubs.
You know what? I don't see them going to the World Series, but I think part of that is they've been sneaky great this year, which is interesting. Everybody moved past the Cubs story because they won the World Series, so it's like, all right, we're past that. Mm-hmm. If the Cubs hadn't won the World Series, there'd be all this attention on the Cubs this year, so it might be to their benefit that you kind of go, I forgot about it today. You know, Paulie, my producer, goes, you know, Cubs do have the best record. Because the Dodgers, I think, are now favored to go to the World Series with Machado. And he goes, but the Cubs have the best record in the National League. And then you're like, oh, that's right. Cubs play. They're good. I forgot all about that. So I think it's to their benefit. But it's weird how the pitching matchups, when you get one or two great pitchers, that usually decides things. So I'm going to lean against the Cubs going to the World Series. How's that?
Okay. As long as you're being honest, that's what we would expect.
There's no rooting interest there. Right. I just, you know.
I would say
if they go, great. But I couldn't care less.
I would say this as we let you go, that I think that the one thing that I think that your relationship with us and what, you know, you would do, the stupid things we didn't, you know, have fun with and everything was really good. And the one thing that I think that a lot of the greatest broadcasters who ever live have a commonality, and it's really very simple, that no matter how great you are, no matter what you're doing, it could be any event, but that you somehow, in the middle of all of it, still retain that very common man touch. And I think you do that as well as anybody who's ever done it. And I mean, I'm talking about some of the great guys that I've met in my life who could do that, who were, you know, just legends and remarkable at what they did. But they were just like the guy on the bar stool next to you if you sat down and talked to him. Now, there's a handful of guys like that. Not all, for sure. But you're one of those guys. I think if you look at how's Dan Patrick last? Well, he's lasted long because of who he is. It's very simple. It's not a puzzle. You don't have to put this together to figure this out.
Well, I wanted to have a shelf life. That's I didn't want to have a gimmick. I wanted to have a shelf life. And I do think having, you know, five brothers and sisters will keep you humble. And,
exactly.
You know, my dad died at 54, so he missed everything. So there was rarely a moment where I didn't think, how would he want me to act or be, or who are you? And he was a very humble person, very, very humble, very shy. And I always, it's never lost on me that, you know, present yourself in the way that your brothers and sisters are going to be proud, or your parents. So that's always resonated with me. But thank you very much for those kind words.
Dan, great stuff. Always fun catching up. Thank you for the time. Not just today. I mean, for 25 years, man. Thank you very much. Love it.
Hi, buddy. Love you. Thanks for the call, and we'll talk soon.
You bet. You go listen to Foghat now. Dan Patrick.
What he's doing.
That ring familiar to you, that last thought about his dad not being around long enough to see success?
Yeah,
I thought it did. We'll take a timeout. It's McNeil and Boers broadcasting from the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Studio on Sports Radio 670 The Score. We're glad you're with us on Sports Radio 670 The Score on this Wednesday. Danny Parkins is on vacation. I'm Mac. Terry Boers sitting in with me today until 6 o'clock. Bulls head coach Fred Hoiberg is going to join us at the top of the 4 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
Terry's second favorite Fred who's ever coached the Bulls.
Correct. He can only be there because nobody's ever going to top Fred Carter.
Fred Carter, who was an assistant to?
Kevin Lockery.
Who they called Murph.
Attached at the hip. Well, they called him Murph.
Why'd they call him Murph?
I have no idea.
His name is
It wasn't
Lockery.
Because of that. It wasn't because of that.
I promise you, I'm not sure. Like Boston, I don't know. There's something about it. I never even asked him. You know, Lockery and I got along good. Fred and I were great.
Yeah.
I mean, what Fred would do after the game is get Lockery 2 beers. To me, I could have been an NBA assistant.
If that's your only job.
Hey, Fred, give me 2 beers, would you? Okay, sure.
This hour of the show is sponsored by Illinois Media School. And Dave Wanstead will check in with us.
Looking forward to it.
At 5 o'clock today. Baseball is not suspending Brewers left-hander Josh Hader. He made some racist and anti-gay tweets years ago. This story surfaced last night, but baseball is not going to suspend him, nor are the Brewers, who released a statement today, which was fairly direct, saying they don't encourage that kind of thing, obviously. They're embarrassed by
Papa John,
it. Josh
yes.
is embarrassed by it. Your opinion, how far back should a professional athlete be held accountable for things he put on social media when he was not of majority age?
Well, I will, this for sure. That I saw the story this morning, and I thought the same to myself. When I was 17, I was one of the biggest idiots on the face of the planet. Now, there wasn't social media to take it out on, so I just took being an idiot on everybody else. I mean, your brain is not fully formed. You're not that's who you are at 17 is not one bit of reflection of who you're going to be 30 or 40 years later. Or even 10 years later. It's not a reflection.
Typically, that's correct.
Because if it's a reflection of me, I'm either dead or in jail.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not... It's not something I would look. I don't like what he said. I saw what he tweeted. I know what he was, but it's very difficult for me in a case like that to hold a 17-year-old accountable, because I was a crazy 17-year-old. How are you at 17? Should I hold you accountable for what you did?
Yeah, I'd be in trouble. I would have issues.
Yeah, I think that all of us would, or at least most of us would have.
Fast forward 20 years.
Still got issues. I don't. And I mean, I have no idea what kind of guy he is. I don't have anything to do with the Brewers. And I see him pitch here and there, but I don't have any kind of idea. But I don't think that you go back to somebody who was not a fully formed adult and get a true life picture of that person. I really don't think you do.
So you think baseball is okay with not suspending him?
I do.
I kind of do, too. I wish we could argue about it, but I feel the same way. And it came up in conversation relatively recently with a unrelated story to Josh Hader. But baseball deciding nothing happening, and just still lots of rumors regarding Manny Machado. The deal is still not complete with the Dodgers, but it will be probably very, very soon. Our live broadcast today in the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Studio is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit pearldavid.com. I want to take a few phone calls, but I got to ask you guys, are you having a tryptophan problem right now? You guys are fading here in our studio audience. What's going on? Is there turkey at the buffet? Are you having, like, your blood sugar's now down because you've jacked up all those carbohydrates earlier? I walked in the kitchen right behind over there, Terry, and went to get a water, and I noticed the salad is not a very popular item with Heavy Fuel Crew attendees today.
Another shock.
Yeah. I don't think anybody had salad. It looked like it was a Jay. You did? Bobby, you did too? Bobby Cresho representing Northwest Indiana?
Three. Wow.
Three guys are salad guys. Yeah. Everyone else. No, are you kidding me? It's like I've accused you of something, sir.
Well, the menu is great.
Don't accuse me.
Menu is great.
I ain't eating that salad.
I see why.
Bad fingers.
I understand that.
Bad finger Tom in Lockport has been waiting to jump in. A guy who used to go on our bus trips up to Milwaukee for Sox Brewers.
Is he the one that drink the keg before we get out of city limits?
Is that you, Bad Finger Tom? You were the keg drinker?
Tom McNeil got four tickets.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, guys. Boy, do you guys sound great.
Thank you.
That was me, by the way, but it was a Bucks game. We went to Milwaukee.
I knew we were in Milwaukee, and I remembered a particular skill you showed off. This is going back 25 years.
Terry, I got him.
This is the guy who used to have the ability to flip a lit cigarette and catch it in his mouth, filter end.
And put it out on my tongue.
That skill. Give it up for Bad Finger.
And we're still talking about cigarettes?
Stupid human tricks.
That really is. I don't remember that, but I
yeah,
remember those trips.
Yeah, you also, up at Shoeless Joe Mac, you held my legs up while upside down.
You wouldn't be the first
down.
Man.
No, he's done that before. First, but I would take a beer, a draft beer, and just guzzle it upside down. That's how I won that trip.
And you're still with us.
Well,
I'm telling you, Terry, if I tried that today, I'd have a broken neck and I'd have a spilt beer next to my carcass. Hey, anyways, this is just unbelievable to hear you guys together. It was the greatest show of all time. I'm telling you, it was. And I just wanted to check in with you guys and tell you, I've been called a dope by Terry, you know, badge of honor. But you guys are incredible.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate the telephone call.
Watch those cigarettes.
Yeah.
Tom was a character,
boy,
man.
That's why we gave him tickets to event, because
Tom,
he could drink a beer upside down.
Full-fledged. Yeah,
that's
I love
that's
Tom.
One cut above having a contest for the largest bowel movement.
That was going to be next if there was another trip. But we would have the keg of beer that would be empty before we'd be out of Chicago limits. This is what we're talking about. I it's like, well, we're out of beer. We're not out of Chicago. You stop at 7-Eleven?
Yeah.
What do you want us to do? I don't even know if there was a 7-Eleven. Would you stop and get another keg? Those trips were
buzz trips to Milwaukee.
Thank God we
I want to say the first 5 years of the station's existence.
Oh, Lord.
The White Sox then in the American League, me being a Sox enthusiast, thought, well, yeah, let's go up to Milwaukee and see the White Sox every summer with a busload of listeners. And he said the Bucks game. I vaguely remember that. What a surprise.
Game, yeah.
I don't remember much about a Bulls Bucks game. Who knew? Who saw that coming? And trips to Champaign a few times, too, for Illinois football games. You might recall the Illini Swallow. Do you remember that?
Kind of, sure. I spent enough time there. Yes, I do. But I mean, again, that's part of what you're talking about. What bothers you about not the bonding? Because
yeah, we got to get
we
back.
We bonded with all kinds, all types, everywhere you want to do it. We were.
You used to say our job is to bring men to other men.
That's exactly right.
Hey, remember
and
that
we've
time,
done it today.
Man,
the
man.
Woman, that woman has left. She's had enough of your dumbass. Gone. Wait a minute. Where am I at?
Elmhurst Steve is waiting to jump in. Hello, Steve. Welcome to the McNeil and Boers Show.
Good afternoon to the crew. You know, when you look back on the Mount Rushmore for the score, you know, Jiggets, North, McNeil and Boers, that's it. There's absolutely no discussion on it. And guys
Murph?
Did a hell of a job building it. So
you sure? You don't have Murph on Mount Rushmore?
I think he slid down the Mount Rushmore somewhere, but anyway, he was certainly a part of it. That's as far as I'll go. But you know, I got to say, everybody's reminiscing quite a bit, and that's great. But I want to ask you something about current baseball, Terry. I always respected your opinion where baseball was concerned. A lot of teams, you know, they talk about going to a six-man rotation. The Cubs are considering if Darvish comes back, you know, they might go to a six-man rotation. Now, I've heard you talk about this in the past on the station. I remember the last time I called the show that you had with your last partner, I got into discussion and then he hung up because I really think the six-man rotation, if you don't have a Schilling, a Randy Johnson, you know, somebody spectacular in your rotation that you don't want pitching, you know, less. You need him to be pitching every five games because he's so great. You want him to get as many starts out of him as possible. If you don't have that, and if the guys who are your best pitchers, like a John Lester, are going to benefit, like Mark Burley did the last time when the White Sox did it, you know, that's so much better. So what do you think of a six-man rotation if Darvish comes back and he's effective and everybody's healthy?
Don't like it. I mean, I sound like the old guy on, you know, get off my lawn, but
guy.
No, I don't like it. No. I mean, I don't like the fact that, you know, continue to baby pitchers and they continue to be hurt. What good does it do you? When you look across baseball, you got to baby this guy, you got to baby that.
So,
guy. Six innings, five innings, that's about it. But what good does it do you in the end?
When Darvish is back, what do you do with Montgomery? Back to the bullpen? That simple for you?
Yeah.
Or do you lose Tyler Chatwood?
Well, you could certainly lose Tyler Chatwood and nobody would even notice. In his family. So, yeah, I mean, there are certainly choices.
The vendors would notice. They'd be working fewer hours.
Yeah. I would probably leave Montgomery there and just tell Tyler maybe next year you'll be better because right now you're not. And I just don't think six-man rotation. Look at what Tampa's doing. They're starting their closer. And
yeah,
they're playing. It's just
– they're trying to draw people into the concrete blister. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, and they're going to be in a concrete blister for the rest of their life, too. The thing that people are going to give them $800,000 to build a new stadium.
$800,000?
Yeah, and that to me, that's lowball. Because if you're building something, it's more than $1 billion. I'm sorry. Crap for $800,000.
$800,000?
Yeah, $800,000. That's what they say they need. And their first statement was they'd give you $100,000 for it. So you got to get $700,000 from the people of Tampa and the businesses to sponsor.
When they come up with that, they could buy Judd Zerat's house in Glencoe.
Boy, apparently. No, I mean, the baseball is doing a lot of things that make sense. They've been doing a lot of things that don't make any sense.
Yeah, coming from you. Coach Fitz and the Wildcats. Yes. Host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Illinois, jalapenos and more. This fall at Ryan Field. Season and single game tickets on sale right now at nusports.com. And this hour of the McNeil and Boers Show is brought to you by Illinois Media School. Want to get back to some more of your calls, some more of your text messages, in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to The Score, Sports Radio 670. It's McNeil and Boers on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Math major that I am, yeah.
Yeah, familiar territory where we spend a few minutes of the segment cleaning some mistakes up from the previous one.
Yeah, 800 million, not 800,000. Yeah, 800 million.
That's asked you.
Again, saying the number remained because they want like 750 million from the people of Tampa. That's not going to happen. I can promise you that. They're not going to happen.
They might get that $750,000. Now, that's
doable. Yeah, they might have got that.
That's
they want to build in the middle of their little cigar place over there. You know, you knock all the cigars out and then put your stadium there and then everybody will. No, they won't. They don't give a rat's ass about baseball. Get out of here. But 800 million. Eh?
800
You're not
going
to get any yet. It's a billion plus to build a real baseball stadium these days.
Yeah.
It's not $800 million. I don't care
like
if it's Tampa or not.
Best deal in real estate ever if it was for $800,000.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and the White
then
Sox
I build it.
The White Sox remain in the American League as well.
When did that happen?
I was
bastards.
I meant to say Brewers. When the Brewers were in the American League.
The
I said
Brewers.
When the White Sox were in the American League.
I don't care. It doesn't matter. I enjoyed those trips to Milwaukee.
Yes.
Even if I don't remember most of them.
Those trips to Milwaukee were terrific. Well, the champagne one or two, I don't know how many you went on. I went on at least four or five with listeners. But what I remember about the first one is...
I don't think I went to Champaign.
I
spent enough time in Champaign.
You'll remember this story. And yeah, okay. It was an Illinois Northwestern game. You were there. Frosty Peters was present. Illinois running back from the 20s. Frosty Peters was there.
Frosty Peters, yeah.
On the trip home,
else.
There were two female listeners who won. One of them took one of the male listeners who had won into the bathroom in the back of the bus on three occasions on our drive back from Memorial Stadium.
Oh, yeah, I was there. Yeah.
See,
okay,
I told you.
Now I got you.
Now he remembers.
Now I got you. Yes, he did.
Yep.
Hello there. Oh, man. Woo.
And
yes.
I'm not going to mention the listener by name. All I remember is this
person. Best not to. Best to leave it mysterious.
He left me a voicemail. He came to work Monday morning after that trip, and he left a voicemail, and he said, "Mac, I know how you are. Don't mention me on it. If you say anything, my wife will know it's me." So apparently he has a – I don't know if it's a bus thing for him.
See, everybody knows that about you. The minute somebody gives you a name that you don't say, you're going to come on and you're going to say it.
Well,
that's what you do. You've been doing it forever.
So unless I'm told not to say it, and then I don't say it, typically. I've gotten better at that.
Better clarify that one. I'm not sure about that, but okay.
Our buddy Jokic, Mitch, is waiting to jump in, and that's why we're going to him right now on the Scores.
Gentlemen, let me tell you something. Terry Bors is absolutely correct. I'm telling you right now, I'm looking out my window, and I see varicose veins I've never seen before. I got one-piece bathing suits abound. And these baby boomers are just expanding, I'm telling you.
This is a man talking to me with no knees, and he's yelling at me. How are you, buddy?
That's right. Hey, good, Terry. How about you? I had to call since you were there this week. You know, I thought about you Saturday. I bowled for the first time since Bowl-O-Rama this Saturday.
Holy crap, it's been a long
time since
Bowl-O-Rama.
Any injuries, Mitch?
It's going to sound bad, but my middle finger on my throwing hand is still sore. But my back, my knees, everything broke down. But there are so many memories. One of which is Danny Mac one time at a remote at the Grand Geneva. He and Spiegs were there, and I came up, and he didn't see me. I have never in my lifetime seen a guy smoke a cigarette so quickly as Danny Mac. He kept puffing and puffing. It was coming out of his ears. And then he threw away the cigarette with the stain after he got through, like he was mad at it or something.
I've never noticed those habits, Mitch, but I don't doubt you for a second. You only get a few minutes, you know, during these commercial breaks, so you have to smoke quickly.
Man.
Three puffs
and
he's back.
Which outing was that when Dan Bernstein's cousin told the worst jokes in the world? What outing was that?
Oh, that was the Bors and Bernstein roast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted those cousins. Everybody wanted to kill them. They're both rich.
So oh my goodness, that was money. Brutal.
But yeah, I
Bernstein's got
crap.
Family members more annoying than he is. I just
oh my god, not completely unfunny.
And another one was when Doug Buffon. I've never seen an athlete that was so humble as he was. Anyway, when I was talking with him, he said, "Oh, Jokic, Mitch, let me introduce you to my wife." I think her wife's name is Dana.
Yes,
he went all the way across the bar to bring her back to meet me. I said, "Wow, here's a humble guy." I mean, you know, I said, "Boy, what a nice guy." He was one of the best. And that was the same time I met Gale Sayers, and what a bitter player. He is very, very. He wishes he could play right now.
Laying it down.
Stream of consciousness. Keep it coming. Anybody else you want to tag or praise? You're covering all the bases here.
Well, I can keep going now, guys. Don't let me. You know, at that same deal with the Bernstein cousins, I sat down and I don't have Jokic Mitch on my name card at the table. And anyway, my regular name was there, and we just start talking. And all of a sudden, I said, yeah, I'm Jokic Mitch. These guys, I'm telling you, these guys, these other score heads, you're Jokic Mitch. They wanted autographs. I said, man, I never knew I was that popular. So
this is what we've been talking about. Yeah, you're like a celebrity. I mean, that's what this station has done always. Yep. Mitch, you take care of yourself, my
friend.
Thank you,
Mitch.
A terrific guy.
Appreciate the telephone
and very,
call.
And very cool, very right on about Doug and Gale Sayers. You can't be more accurate than that.
Yeah.
That be true.
Yeah, Gale was. It remains very, very bitter. Mm-hmm. I've not gotten to know him very well over the years. I don't get
don't
the
bother.
Impression I'm missing much.
don't bother.
But I watch Brian's song every year before the Bears go to training camp, so I get my Gale Sayers fix. I love Brian Pigelow. And tonight, when you hit your knees, please ask God to love him.
I mean, Doug is the standard bearer for wonderful people. I mean, that guy was just what you thought he was when you heard him on these airwaves and you met him somewhere. He was exactly that guy. So, I mean, it's kind of a hard act to follow. I think more contemporary athletes are a little smarter about it. But there's some of them left from the old days that are just god-awful. Just, you don't want any part of them. But Doug was, Doug was way before his time in terms of being smart and being being kind to people and doing the way he, because, I mean, that guy, you could do anything. Except, like, when you don't want to line up though and act like you want to run into him. That you don't want to do. But anything else, that guy, I mean, he took it and you gave it to him. And he just, it was always the same to him, so... I mean, unfortunately, when he passed, I was recovering from shoulder surgery, so I had to kind of, mince my way in there because I was still in a lot of pain, but I would not have missed it because, I mean, there's no way that guy ever goes anywhere without getting my absolute just respects for the not only a life well lived, but what a terrific guy and what a contribution he made to this station.
No doubt. I just miss him enormously. I think of him often. And, you guys who listen to sports radio, ladies who listen to sports radio, you hear us regularly.
You drove her out. She's gone.
You hear probably on a daily basis guys talking about people who are good guys. Believe it. When you hear people talk about Doug Buffon as being a real guy, believe every word you say. He was the real thing. We've got 2 hours left. Only 2 hours remain in the Heavy Fuel Crew 2.0 third show. Fred Hoiberg is going to join us in a couple minutes. Glad you're here at Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.